I'm going to make reference today out of Hebrews chapter 10, if you'd like to follow along, because it won't be on that screen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23 this morning. Let's just talk for a while, shall we? The scripture reads, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." And that's what I want to focus on today. For he who promised is faithful. And we sung a song, "Great is thy faithfulness," and how faithful God is to us. But there's a beginning. And the beginning is the scripture I just read, because that beginning talks about salvation. The beginning is we have a relationship, or at least I hope you do, with the Lord. Because to understand God's faithfulness towards you, to understand how much he loves you, to understand how much he desires you to have a good life, you have to understand who he is. You can't understand who he is unless he lives within you. You can't understand who he is unless you are reading his word. You're talking to the Father in heaven. In this world, there's so many people that don't know that. There's no clarity to them. Because we talk of things as to not only to love your neighbor, but to love your enemies, to pray for your enemies. There's some things in Scripture when Jesus walked and became and his ministry began to unfold on the earth, which only lasted 3 years. He began to turn a world completely upside down. Those things that they understood to be true to them no longer were, as far as he was concerned. He said some things that were remarkable and unbelievable, and to people who still had scales and the veil drawn over their eyes, they couldn't see and nor could they hear or understand. It had to be revealed to them only by the Father above, and he made that very clear. And he also made it clear that those who have seen me have seen the Father, and the words that are given to me are from the Father and only him. But unless you receive them in your heart, you'll never understand those things that I'm explaining to you. You'll never understand the parables that I teach you. You won't get it because you live a veiled life. You just walk aimlessly on this earth day after day after day, just existing and never really living. And there's so many people around us that just continue that to this day. Unfortunately, there'll be many, because the scripture says so, there'll be many that will find their way to hell. And people often ask, well, how can a loving God, if he's so loving, how could he send you to hell? Well, he doesn't. You choose. We as Christians understand that. Folks that aren't walking with the Lord, they don't get that. Well, that makes no sense to me, but that still means he's sending you. No, he's not. Such a loving God gives us the ability to choose whether or not we believe in him or we don't. Choose you this day whom you believe, me or Baal. Make a decision is what he always gives us. And see, that's the beginning of real life for us. I think, I'm hoping everybody here has accepted Christ. I do. Because it did, if for those of you that have, it rocked your world, didn't it? It changed everything about you. For some, it may have been very instant. For some, it may have been some things that radically changed who you were. I remember, to me, outside looked clearer, even if it was cloudy. The birds seemed to chirp beautiful music that I really never paid attention to before, God's creation. My ears began to soften when I heard people talk. You know, instead of being critical or putting them down or making fun, my heart began to see people in a different way. I began to speak differently, live differently. And that's a process. For some people, it's a radical change, and they change completely, inside and out. For others, it's a journey. I think for most of us, it's a journey when we accept the Lord. Those things that we thought were real to us aren't anymore. Those truths in which we were living before Christ completely unraveled before our very eyes as we began to discover the real truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us and what he stood for. And as we begin to open up his words and read them, it's amazing. A light sort of turns on, and it's amazing. It begins to get within you, and you know what I'm talking about. You read passages, and it begins to unfold, and you become enlightened, and you begin to understand God and who he really is and what he's done for you. It's a whole different world. And wasn't it a great feeling? Isn't it still a great feeling to know the Lord? To know that he is with us always? It was a great transformation. It was a change. This morning we could talk about, you know, healing for people, which God speaks about that. We could talk about financial problems and what God has to say about that, because people health-wise are hurting. Financially, some people trying to get by. We could talk about restoring marriages, which is all in the Bible, and talk about that. But first and foremost, before anything else like that can take place and really healing come the way it should, really marriages to be restored the way they should, really handling finances the way they should, first and foremost, the message must be Christ for it to mean anything in our lives. Because that way we know we're not living as the world is living. We live differently than the world. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. Our journey, we're just passing through until he calls us home. So in that journey, what is it you're doing with that? What is it that makes life worthwhile to you? What makes you get up in the morning? And I hope you don't say, well, my job makes me get up, because it can't be. Yes, your job could make you get up in the morning because you got to pay your bills, and I understand that. But what are you living for each and every day? What difference are you making in the lives of people around you? Because we don't have that much time on this earth. And I've shared this before. I'm 57. I'm not old, unless you ask my children. You're getting old, Dad. I'm limping around here. So at the age of 57, I can see that. And I don't know what age it sunk in for me or whatever, but what's your life? What are you doing here? Seriously. Why are you here? What is it you're going to leave behind? What type of legacy? I would think that serving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and body would be the one thing that would give you great pleasure. No matter where you are today, no matter when you wake up tomorrow morning, and yeah, it's great when we come in the house of the Lord and we live for him, and it's wonderful. We're gathered with people that think the same way, and we talk the same way, and we gather in his name to worship him. Then comes Monday morning, and we go our separate ways, and we're back into that world that wants to do everything it can to crush us. Now, there's some good things in this world, don't get me wrong, and there is. But there's also some things, and of course, we know who the ruler of the world of darkness is in this world. He'd love nothing better than to take us down. And so that's why there's some things that we face in life that are just tragedy and horrible and awful things. And sin exists in this world because of that. So Monday morning, we get up, and we're facing all that. So much being flooded in here, so many worries and concerns and things we're facing and going through, and oftentimes we get up Monday morning and wonder, how are we going to get through this? Well, his name is Jesus. And it doesn't mean you won't go through it. We can't go through life with rose-colored glasses. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that though while you go through it, he is going to be with you. That's why I can endure some things that I do in my life. Doesn't take away all the pain, but I'm reassured. I'm reassured by him. We're reassured when we gather together on Sundays how important it is to be in the house of the Lord when the doors are open, because we need each other, folks. We really do. We need each other to cry when we need to, and to gather around and hold each other up and to pray for one another, to be there in encouragement. This is where you come to get that. This is it. So we have to get first right with Christ. Matthew 6:33 says that very plainly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if we do that every day, seek his kingdom first. Every day you wake up, it should be about, Lord, what can I do? Lord, who am I going to talk to today that I can impact their life? Lord, what is it I can do for you today that will make the difference in the life of somebody else? So if you seek first his kingdom, his promise follows that I'll add all these other things to you. He knows what you have need of. He understands you may have some wants. He may not give you all the wants that you pray for. Thank the Lord, because it might ruin our lives. But he gives you the needs. He knows exactly what you need before you open your mouth. Your needs should always align with the will of the Lord. Well, how do I do that? Open his word and begin reading. You begin to understand the will of the Lord. Let your prayers fall in line with his word. He'll meet every need you have. But you have to seek him first. It begins with Christ. There's no other way. Still back in Hebrews, it says it's a new and living way. Can you remember that, don't you? The life you used to live, the old you, compared to who you are today, walking with the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? When you think back, I still, from time to time, I've been forgiven. I have. If you accepted Christ, absolutely. Your sins are forgiven as far as the west, as far as the east. But there's times in my life, I still tell God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When my mind goes back to past and when I was younger and the way I used to live and how I squandered away years of just being stupid, really, in life, you know, living in sin, there's times I still say, God, I'm sorry for that. I know I'm forgiven and I don't dwell on it and, you know, but I think about those times I gave away. I just wasn't living for him the way I should and I regret those times. But he's not done yet. For either one of us, anybody here. He's not done. He's not through. So don't ever give up on yourself. Don't ever give up on yourself. Don't ever become so discouraged that you think he's done with you. Oh, no. We give up sooner than he ever will. He'll chase you down. It is a new way of life. It is a new way of living. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I'll give you a new heart. And put a new spirit in you. And you know that to be true. Your heart begins to soften towards people, I hope. You begin to love people more when you're in contact with them, I hope. I hope you begin to slow down. Life's fast-paced nowadays. Oh, my goodness. People coming and going that don't really have the time. But if you're praying to God to help you to seek his kingdom first every day, he'll bring people to you. Slow down. Give them time. Sometimes people just need a little bit of time to have somebody listen, and then their heart will pour out. It happens. They just begin to pour out their heart, their hurts, what they're dealing with. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. That's making a difference for eternity. We can't just be getting up and just living day by day. That's just existing. That's not living. Too many people are just existing. Ephesians 4:22 says, with regard to your former way of life, which, as we know, our former way of life was a wasteful life. It really was. A life without real meaning. A life without real purpose. We understand that now, since we have Christ. A life without true hope. So we're to put off that old self, and we understand that as Christians, because hopefully, I believe you did. When you compare that old life to the way it is now, it's a drastic change. And that old way was being corrupted by the deceitful desires in your life. But instead, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, you put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's a big difference. It's a whole new world. It's a new way. It's a living way. With this new life comes a new way of living. You become alive for the first time. Now, for people you're trying to talk to who don't know Christ and you tell them you'll become alive for the first time, they might look at you and say, that makes no sense to me. I've been alive for 15 years. I've been alive for 25 years. I've been alive for 40 years. I've been alive for 50 years. No, you've existed on this earth for that many years, but you've not been alive until you understand what we're trying to share with you and who Jesus Christ is. Because people who are just existing on this earth, all they have to go on day by day is just circumstances. Whatever the circumstances given that day, that's how good of a day they're having or how bad of a day they're having. That's how good of a life they're having or how bad of a life they're having. Because folks who don't know Christ, when they get up the circumstances, they're putting out fires all the time. It becomes a roller coaster ride of emotions for folks that don't know who Jesus is. Because when you're up and you don't know Christ, okay, you're up and things look good. Life is going around smoothly. Everything's great. But when you're down, you're down. You're down. And you tend to stay down without Christ. But with Christ, when you're down, you're not defeated. That's important to know. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are hard-pressed on every side. And I know a lot of folks here, the prayer requests that we get, A lot of you, absolutely, you're hard-pressed on every side. It comes at you, doesn't it? And sometimes you wonder what hit you. What truck was that? Did you get the license plate number? What just ran over me? Because you're blindsided by that. Happens to a lot of us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed, Scripture says. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. With Christ, through the down times, we find He is faithful. He is faithful to us. Psalm 146, 5 and 6 says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord remains faithful forever." It's God's faithfulness to us that sustains us. It's not the promises that we make to God. It's the promises that he gives us that gets us through every day. That's remaining faithful. Because we can give up on God. We can turn our back on God. We can get angry at God and maybe shun him a little bit. Shun people of God a little bit. Back away. Turn a little bit cold. Something happened to us that made us, makes God rub us the wrong way. All those things can happen in the life of the Christian. But he will not give up on you. Some of you may find today you struggle with being close with him, and maybe you feel like you've been responsible for that. Maybe you feel like one of those folks was blindsided. You don't know how to handle it and get through it. And you sort of creep away from reading and praying and maybe stay away from church a little bit. You can't escape him. You can't outrun him. It's the way it should be with a God that loves you that much. Abraham knew all too well of the faithfulness of God. Romans 4, 18 through 21 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. You know the story. He was so old and his wife was old and God spoke to him and said, the entire earth will be populated by you and your wife. And he looks at him and says, you're crazy. Because look, he knew his scripture says his body was good as dead. He knew that. Against all hope. That means like when the odds are stacked against you. Sometimes we can feel like that, right? From our human perspective, it doesn't look good. When you line up the facts, it doesn't look good. No matter which way I switch this around, the outcome just doesn't look like it's going to be anything good. Well, those are people that don't know Christ. Those are people that just exist on this earth every day and just live for themselves and don't know any other way to live. There's nothing to hold on to. There's no anchor in their life. There's no rock they built their life on. There's no foundation in which to build their life on. They're lost. But we know. So for some, for all the evidence that their five senses have before them, it just doesn't look good for the outcome when they're faced with this up against all odds in their life or up against all hope. But we know as Christians that hope doesn't rely on the natural, does it? It doesn't rely on my five senses. It may not look good. I may try to work this thing out as best I can, all these scenarios. It just still doesn't look good. Not evidenced by the five senses that I have. But hope sees what the human eye can't. Hope relies on the faithfulness of God. Abraham, in hope, believed. Against all odds, he's 100. Sarah, also of age, and he knew that fact. Scripture says his body good as dead, I said. Yet he did not waver, the scripture says, through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. He was strengthened in his faith by praising the Lord. And that's a challenge for all of us. See, God is faithful to us. And for us to jump in there, to be in the game, to get on board with him, to have our hope rise within us, begin praising him when you think that when most people who don't know Christ couldn't begin praising anybody for anything when they're faced with the down times. They're cursing everybody upside down on the other, pointing fingers and blaming everyone. We as Christians, hopefully you don't do that, So we as Christians, though, because the faithfulness of God to us, when those times come at you, and they will, and blindside you, we're hard-pressed on every side, begin praising him. I know. See, this is those strange things that the world would say, you're crazy, you're nuts. That makes no sense. He hurt you, she hurt you, this happened, you're sick, you're diseased, you've been diagnosed financially, you can't pay your mortgage. And the world would say, get angry at somebody, blame someone, point the finger. No. Just raise your hands. And just surrender to the Lord because he is faithful to you. Right? He's faithful to you. Always remember that. Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised him. In your lifetime as a Christian, you've dealt with a lot of stuff, and you've been through a lot of stuff. And I think when you pull out something in your mind of something you dealt with, went through, and as tough as that was, and not knowing all the answers and not seeing the end result, but now that it's all done, you came through it, you can look back and you can see the hand of God in your life, can't you? You can't put it together right at the time you're going through it because there's too much going on in here. You're stirred up too much. You're fighting too much. You're battling too much. But when you come out on the other side, and hopefully during the process you begin to praise the Lord, thank him for what he is doing. Help. Pray to him, Lord, I don't see what you're doing here. I don't quite make sense of all this. I don't know the outcome. And he says, of course you don't see the outcome. If you always saw the outcome, it might scare you so much you'd walk away or go bury yourself in the ground and never come out. But for those of us that have been on a journey for a while with the Lord and we've come out on the other side and we reflect on that, you can see his faithfulness to you, can't you? You realize he was always with you, brought you through that moment, helped you, lifted you up, encouraged you, drug you along when times you were kicking and screaming because you were just so upset. The scripture I read to you this morning in opening says you're able to hold unswervingly to the hope you profess, unswervingly, to withstand without giving up. Scripture says that we can withstand those things in our life without giving up. The world doesn't understand that. We do because of his faithfulness to us. And I know you've had to withstand some things in your life, right? When you're forced to face a trying time in your life. And the reality has, we all have. Now, maybe you're the one that caused it. Maybe you didn't plan for it and it was brought on to you. Whatever the cause was. And maybe during this time you feel like you've let the Lord down somehow. Maybe through whatever you were facing, you've missed it somewhere. We do that so often. What did I do wrong, Lord? When things aren't going right, what have I done wrong? What did I miss? We get so critical of ourselves. I'm not sure if we realize who we're talking to. But we might feel like we let the Lord down. And why would he listen to me now? Because there's obviously something I did wrong. I messed up somewhere. Why would he listen to me now? Why would he help me out now? Look at what I've done. Look at what I've caused. Look what was brought to me. Why would he help you out? Because he's faithful to those that belong to him. I want to share a scripture. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, God is talking to his children, which is all of us. But he's talking to all his children. He's calling them out. Why? Because they weren't living right before him. Okay? Put yourself in these folks' shoes because I know for a fact not every day are you going to live right before the Lord. We're human. We don't get up and say, today I'm going to sin as much as I can. Tomorrow I won't. None of us live that way as Christians. We all get up out of bed and say, Lord, help me today to be the man or woman of God I'm supposed to be. Help me not to sin today, Lord. Really. We all get up that way. That's our desire as Christians. But don't fool yourself if you think you won't. It doesn't have to be something huge or big. Maybe something, you got angry at somebody and said some things you shouldn't have. You whatever it is, anything small to great. Well, God called his own children out and said, you're not living right. And some of those folks could be going, what do we do wrong? We don't understand. Things aren't going right, and I feel so bad, and why would God listen to us now? Some of us, we do that the same thing. You see, they had sinned against the Lord. And he, obviously, God being God, he could have written them off. He brought a flood once, destroyed everyone. He could do it again. It says in Scripture, he will never do that. But God could have. He says to them, two words, fear not. That's amazing. We get so critical of ourselves. We think that God's going to bring the hammer down and judge us because we messed up. We caused this. We did this. We're facing this. God's own children back then, same thing. They're living in sin. And he looks at them. He could have brought the hammer down. He could have just become, whipped them all and got so angry at them. But in the first two words he says to them, fear not. Instead, he says, for I have redeemed you. You belong to me, he says. You're my child. You're my children. I have summoned you by name. That's a personal God. Mercy will be extended because of my love for my people. Because of his love for you and me. He could have dealt with them harshly, but he tells them, don't be afraid. You sense the love he has for his kids. You got to sense the love he has for you. That despite what you do or cause or go through, don't get so discouraged. Don't put yourself down. Don't think for a moment he's not listening. Don't think for a moment he's left you. Don't give up. The scripture says unswervingly, you can withstand because of the faithfulness of God towards you. Because of his love for you and me, he's faithful to us despite us. He promises when you pass through the waters, he says, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, he says, they will not sweep over you. That's a faithful God. When you walk through the fire, many of us could say, you've been through the fire a lot of times. He says, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze at all. He even says in Scripture, you won't even smell the hint of smoke on you. That's a God that loves you. That's a God that just is there for you no matter what. That's a God you can't get rid of. That's a God that's not going to die. That's a God that's not going to pass away. That's a God that's not going to leave us. He is with you forever, today, tomorrow, and forever. Never forget that. Let that encourage you every single day, no matter what you're facing, that he is faithful to you. Stir up those moments in your heart and your mind, those things that you've been through with the Lord before, those things he's brought you through. Let that encourage you and build your faith with him as he's taken you through this journey. He says, for I am the Lord your God, your Savior. It's amazing, isn't it? Truly amazing, the faithfulness of God to us. Where would we be? That's how I get up on Monday morning. I'll be honest about it. It really is. Lord helps you face every day. And just face it one day at a time. Do our best not to worry about tomorrow. Do our best not to worry about down the road. Do our best not to be too concerned or fearful or doubtful. You know what? Let the Lord work those things out for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and just do that every day. Don't worry about down here. Just seek him first every day and watch what he does. And it won't be what you thought. It won't be an open door that you were praying for oftentimes because he knows what you have need of. It may be something completely different. And I know a lot of you could testify to that. When that door closed and that one opened, you were just amazed that what you were praying for all along wasn't what you needed because he knows. Why? Because he's faithful to you. He loves you that much.